everyone. Welcome to the Early Edge brought to you by BetMGM. Make it legendary. What a day we had yesterday. Let's pull up the recap screen. We go 5-3-1. And oh yeah, we hit Eric Cole at plus 6,000 as a first round leader. A pick not only we had on the Early Wedge, but we also had on the Early Edge. All right, let's talk about a sports line pick before we bring in the stars of the show. This is more of a reminder. Fiziev, that's how it is. Over Torres, minus 110, that one from Danny Brasco. He brought that and another pick to the show yesterday. So definitely check out the Thursday show if you missed it. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we got to get to the show. I don't want to bore you with trying to pronounce UFC picks. Ladies and gentlemen, it's BPE Friday. Let's go. We got Brad Thomas rocking the hair. We got Erling Holiday. And ladies and gentlemen, we've got your 10 a.m. chip me up.
Good morning, Sia. Good morning, Buckets. Good morning, Brad. Good morning, A-Max. Good morning, Taft. Good morning, Erling Hedge fam. Because that's right. Unlike the U.S. men's national team, when we go to our backups, our level of play does not drop. Oh, no, it does not drop. You take advantage of that opportunity. We are bringing the heat. Let's go.
Let's absolutely go. Brad Thomas, you're not always here on Friday. Did you know we were doing that type of intro?
No, I would have had some like pom-poms. I'd have been shaking them with you guys. You caught me off a little off guard, but you know, I had to catch up a little bit.
Well, one thing we do, A-Max, is anytime somebody's new to the Friday show, we actually never tell them that we're doing that. And it's always fun to see their reaction. A-Max, how you doing today?
Oh, that's awesome. I didn't even know that was the first time Brad would have seen that. So that is awesome. I'm sure Buckets probably feels like it's the first time he sees it every time anyway. So
Buckets, a.k.a. Erling Haaland. How you doing today, buddy?
Did you say he's like a goldfish chip?
Yeah.
Yeah, shortest memory on the planet. Every day it scares the hell out of me when I see the BPE screen come up.
Yeah,
but no,
absolutely.
I needed to chip me up today. I've had a terrible morning in my personal life. So, Chip, thank you for bringing the energy. That's exactly what I needed to get going today.
You got this.
That is exactly what he needed to get going. Let us know what you hit in the chat yesterday. Again, the Eric Cole, I know a lot of people were on that. Some people may not have been on it, but don't worry, we'll have more. I might even drop a second round leader play for everybody. Just a little sprinkle on a second round leader. Official plays are going to be in the matchup department with me and Chip. Buckets, a lot of World Cup, which means we're going to have a lot of World Cup questions as well. So we'll take care of all of those. How about you kick us off with two bets for the pitch?
Yeah, we've got a really fun day on the pitch because all 12 teams participating in the six matches today still have something to play for, whether it's finishing top of the group, whether it's trying to sneak into a third position. There is no team that is completely out already, which is my favorite kind of matches to bet on. And let's start with the one that everyone cares about, France taking on Norway. Go ahead and bet your Mbappe plus Haaland plus Messi plus whatever tickets you want to put out. Go ahead and do that, because how do you not bet on Haaland and Mbappe in the form they're in? But I'm choosing to take the chalk on this one. The obvious bet that everyone's going to take, France versus Norway, both teams to score and over 2.5 goals at minus 110. We have two of the best attacking powers on the planet. Mbappe's probably going to get a brace. Olise will absolutely probably get an assist. France should win this game, but you can't stop Norway from scoring, because Norway, they don't give a damn at this point. They are coming out and they are having fun and they are just scoring goals like it is nothing. There was an interview with Erling Haaland where the interviewer asked, Erling, how do you beat France? What's your game plan to beat this? And he goes, we don't. They're probably going to beat us. They're probably going to win it all, but we're still through to the group stage. Hell yeah. Like, let's just have fun with it. So I'm having fun with my bet and taking the obvious one here. And then bet number two, we look at Senegal taking on Iraq in a very tricky matchup, because Senegal and Iraq both have 0 points going into the third match day, but both of them could still technically qualify for the group stage round. But a couple things need to happen. I'm backing Senegal with a big win here, because Senegal was good enough to score twice on Norway and they were good enough to score France. And now they're playing Iraq, which has been the punching bag of this group. Senegal not only need to win this game, but they need to stay ahead on goal differential. 3 points might be enough to qualify, but 3 points with a plus goal differential, that's much better. Senegal need to run up the score here, which is why I like Senegal over 2.5 team total. Getting that at even money, expecting them to have their foot on the gas for 90 minutes no matter what here, guys.
All right. Iraq, Senegal over 2.5 team total at even money. In Norway, France, both teams to score. Buckets, there are still people. I mean, we've only been through 2 weeks of the World Cup, so there is some terminology that people still are, you know, somewhat unfamiliar with. What's a brace?
A brace is when the same player scores two goals in a game. So you got the first goal. A brace means they scored twice, and a hat trick is they scored three times. See ya.
Chip, we don't have that in hockey, do we? We don't.
No.
That's just a soft. Brad, where do we know where that comes from? I mean, obviously, I heard that term in the last 2 weeks, but prior to that, I had never heard brace before.
No, I don't know where it comes from. Just like a lot of footy terms, we just have been saying them since the beautiful game was created. Like someone along the way was like, oh, he's on a hat trick. Didn't get the hat trick. Let's just call it a brace.
Go ahead, jump in? Yeah. The term originates from 19th century British sporting vocabulary and stems from Old English and Anglo-French, where it originally meant a pair or two of a kind.
Okay.
Like old card games, terms. Playing gin rummy back with your tea and crumpets, you know, back in the day.
In the chat.
Do that off the top of his head, man. Just
Totally didn't Google that.
Yeah.
In the chat, give us your favorite old school card game. I guess you could go new school too, but Chip, you're bringing back some memories there with like gin rummy and things of that nature. We can go around the horn later, but we do want to get to more picks. And Chip, I'm going to go right back to you. Ooh, I've got a couple of matchups to talk about. Mm-hmm. You've got a matchup to talk about. And oh, by the way, can I just ask you real quick, the Cover 3 podcast, it is churning right now, is it not?
It is. It absolutely is. Let's see. Yesterday we did Dark Horses and Chalk Donkeys. Ooh. I just wanted to say those words first so that you could be like, wait, what was that he just said? Because a long time ago, our awesome audience, which we call the Cover 3 Tailgate, once, you know, proposed, because we do a Dark Horses episode every single season. You go through all the conferences, everyone gets a chance to, you know, throw their weight and make an argument for a dark horse in the ACC, the SEC, Big 10, Big 12. And the tailgate was like, hey, what's the opposite of a dark horse? And the tailgate created the Chalk Donkeys. So we went through the Big 10 and the SEC to get your dark horses, the teams that are a little bit lower on the board that could threaten to contend for the title. And then the Chalk Donkeys, the teams at the top of the board that we think are maybe a little bit vulnerable and could end up slipping and falling short of expectations. So we did that yesterday. We're actually going to be on CBS Sports Network, Sia. I don't know if you looked at the schedule, but we are going to be on at 1 p.m. Eastern time on CBS Sports Network today. Quarterback rankings is going to be the topic, and then more Chalk Donkey talk on Monday. I don't know why you set me up for an ad read, but I mean, I'm absolutely always ready to go.
Well, you know, when people hear the Chip Me Up, I think they're like, where else can we find Chip Patterson? And for the two or three people of the 500 that are watching on YouTube that don't know, you can find them on Cover 3 all the time. You mentioned the 1 o'clock show. I do want to mention programming note, UFC Fight Night and World Cup picks from 12 to 1 o'clock. That'll be an expanded early edge, again, focusing on UFC and World Cup. All right, Chip, how about a golf play?
Yeah, very interesting at this point because I called the Travelers Championship late night. And I know not everybody engages in the same kind of, you know, evening activities. And I don't want to yuck anyone's yum, but, you know, there is a little bit of stereotypes. You know, you go out, you're at the party, and then there's the afters or late night. And some people know how to handle themselves. Some people puke on their shoes. And at the Travelers Championship, you've got some people that just can't get back off the bus, whether it was they were so good or whether they were so bad. It's just that U.S. Open hangover sometimes lingers a little bit more. And undeniably, Cameron Young was a disappointment at the U.S. Open. And what I saw from the performance coming out of Thursday just shows like it's just a little bit of a hangover, just couldn't quite get off the bus. And so I found an opportunity against someone who, on the flip side, it seems to have things going, you know, a little bit disappointing the way he finished, but I like Russell Henley's form. He's done well at this championship over the years. Last year, he had a very good finish here. We know that when you're talking about TPC River Highlands, it's one of those places where if you are not a bomber, which Russell Henley is not, you're not facing the same kind of uphill battle. And we've got an opportunity where he is actually getting a better price than Cameron Young in a head-to-head right here. Didn't like Cam Young's form yesterday. And I think that if you go back and go under the hood of Russell Henley's round, he had a horrid tee shot about midway through on the back nine that ended up resulting in a double bogey. But the entire hole was him just trying to recover from the bad tee shot. The rest of the game was not perfect. It was not a perfect game, but I like the way he was able to grind through it. If he was off on his approach shot on a certain hole, he was able to get it back with the short game and with the flat stick. If he was able to get dialed in, he was able to capitalize on a couple opportunities as well. I just don't know if Cam Young has the goods right now. So I will take Henley at a favorable price over Cam Young here for round two.
Yeah, this does seem like a favorable price. If you have golf matchup questions, get them in the chat, because it's not just me and Chip, but of course, Brad Thomas handles golf as well. Brad, you got anything, you know, in the fire right now? Potentially any winners?
I got a couple guys up at the top, you know, Matt Fitzpatrick, but I'll just give out a round two play. I took Sam Burns over 4.5 birdies or better at -132. It's a little juiced, right? But Sam Burns is undeniably the best second round golfer in the world, in my opinion. You can look at the stats, they'll back it up over the last 3 years. He played okay, but he left a lot of birdies out there. He's a really good putter. You know, he's going to bounce back from that.
I'll get to some of my matchups and some answers to your questions in a bit. We got to get to some Major League Baseball with AMAX. Get your MLB questions in the chat. I do want to tell you about a BetMGM World Cup promo. It's the one we talked about yesterday. Get an early payout for a two-goal lead. Just place a pregame match result bet on any World Cup match. If your team takes a two-goal lead at any point in the game, your bet pays out as a win only at BetMGM. Also, I want to remind you of what we've got going on Paramount Plus, aside from UFC and so many other things. Trace the evolution of U.S. soccer from the very beginning with the U.S. Men's Soccer Trilogy. Multiple eras, one passion. Stream every era exclusively on Paramount Plus. All right, we got to get to more MLB, more golf, more soccer questions. A lot to get to, including the home run chart, right after this message from our partners. Before we get back to golf and World Cup, we got to get to some MLB. AMAGS. We've got a lot of questions in the chat. I know you have two picks, but can we handle Liddy's question first? Do we love the Dodgers playing against Buehler? Of course, Buehler used to be on the Dodgers. Now they're on the road in San Diego, Sasaki on the mound. Your thoughts on that, and then go ahead and give out your plays.
Yeah, so I think I would honestly rather just kind of look at the Dodgers team total here. I mean, Buehler has been better. But if you do get a good start from Buehler, then you always have to worry about that bullpen at the back end. So I'm thinking, you know, maybe either a first five team total or full game. And, you know, you are going to get a little bit of a lower total or better price than normal. So I know Liddy always loves to back the Dodgers, though. So, Liddy, I think you should take -2.5 on the spread for the Dodgers tonight, because that, you know, being his favorite team, that's one that I'm sure will hit for him. Good luck out there tonight. But yeah, I have a couple of plays here. And first one is just going to be a hitter prop. At a really, you know, good price, in my opinion, here for Kyle Schwarber, over 1.5 hits, runs, and RBIs tonight. It's the matchup against Zach Thornton here. Now, the Mets have, of course, they just got swept by the Cubs, but then they traded David Peterson. It looks like, you know, Juan Soto might be back now. He pinch hit last night, so probably back in there today. But things have not really been going their way on the injury front, on the wins and losses front. The error front, I know that as much as anybody as a Yankees fan, with four errors last night. But Kyle Schwarber in this matchup with Zach Thornton really only pitching in the majors because of that David Peterson trade now, made his debut earlier this year, gave up 4 runs in less than 5 innings. And you look at Thornton, he's a 1-5 record. The ERA does not look good at AAA. So none of the numbers at AAA really look good. Actually, if you look at him in the left versus right split, you'd think that a lefty might be a little bit better here against lefties, but it's a .293 average against lefties versus a .239 against righties, 22 hits in 18 innings with 4 home runs at AAA against lefties. I think that that's a very exploitable spot for us here tonight with Kyle Schwarber, a guy who, when you look at his left and right splits, .283 against lefties this year. It's a .237 against righties. So he's been better against lefties. We get the better of this matchup and a bit of a better price actually here. So love Schwarber tonight over 1.5 hits, runs, and RBIs. And then secondly, I guess take a look at the weather. It does look like maybe the weather is changing a little bit from the forecast I had last night. Might look maybe a little bit wetter, but I really don't think it's going to be that big of a deal in Pittsburgh to back. Hopefully Katie Taylor is in the chat here to back her guy Paul Skeens for some strikeouts. And it's really just a fade of this Reds order more than a real big, you know, love for Paul Skeens. I get, you know, Paul Skeens is a very talented pitcher, strikeout guy. He's still running a 14% swinging strike rate in the last month. And he's been running the strikeouts up of late, 5 straight starts with at least 7, but he's gone for 8+ in quite a few of those. And, you know, I love everything about Skeens, but it's really just this Reds lineup, 27% strikeout rate in the last month against right-handed pitching. They are just striking out and striking out and striking out. And even adding Ellie De La Cruz back to the lineup has really not helped all that much. So it doesn't look like you may get Matt McClain in there tonight. He's been a source of some strikeouts, but you still get Eugenio Suarez. You still get Spencer Steer. There's a bunch of strikeouts in this lineup. Even if we can get Paul Skenes through five innings, I think that this number is in jeopardy, you know, of going over. And if you get that sixth inning, I really like him here tonight. So I laddered him up, but I'd like the over 7.5 strikeouts. I'd put it out on Sportsline last night and put it in the Discord and let everybody know I was playing it. The price for over 7.5 is a bit out of reach now. I still, like I said, I'm going to ladder it up. So I still like 8.5, 9.5, going to play some of those upper levels here. And if you want, maybe a little pivot because they are minus 200 on the money line. What about Skenes at a lower strikeout level? And then you take the Pirates to win, right about even money for 6 strikeouts and the win on Caesars there.
Ooh, I kind of like that. The take the strikeouts down a little bit with the Pirates win at around even money makes a lot of sense. We'll get to the home run chart in just a bit. Let's transition back to soccer. Brad, before you give out your bets, Josh Davis has a question. I'll give it to you, Buckets. Buckets, thoughts on Algeria versus Austria to draw at plus 120. Now, this game is tomorrow. What I like about this question before you answer, as I give you time to contemplate that, is the show we have from 12 to 1 o'clock today is actually going to cover some of these games over the weekend, even into Monday with the knockout stage. So just an FYI for that 12 to 1 show. Buckets, go ahead.
You could tell by Brad's smile that we both know what we're going to talk about with this game. There's a lot going around about this Algeria-Austria game, a lot of conspiracy theories, because in this group, whoever finishes second will play Switzerland. Or no, whoever finishes, yeah, second plays Switzerland. No, one more try. Whoever finishes second in this group will play Spain. Whoever finishes third in this group most likely plays Switzerland. So there's an incentive for both of these teams to lose. Because if you lose this game, you're going to play the easier team in the next round. One of the faults we have with kind of this third place knockout round system going on. So there's a lot of people trying to bet some weird edge on this game, betting an own goal, betting, you know, no goals. There's kind of, this game's a total mess. For me, it's going to be a stay away from game because theoretically there's a world where if these teams draw, one of them doesn't advance. There's just too many things going on with this matchup for me to give a smart and secure bet. So I'm staying off of it, but I get the draw angle because neither team is motivated to do much here.
Brad, I love a conspiracy theory. Your thoughts before you get into your picks?
Yeah, I'm on the draw. I bet it at plus 125. We just watched Australia and Paraguay have a match of total lack of excitement. No real quality shots. Yeah, they had 7 on target, but it was straight BS. There's another one where the conspiracies are out there, but still at the end of the day, getting that 1 point in locking up qualification is far more valuable than trying to avoid anyone else. We just watched Japan play in a match where they played with the training wheels on against Sweden, who had 5 defenders, because Sweden even knew that if they don't get this point, they could be eliminated. And so I think it's going to be another situation. The odds say it too. Like if you ever see a draw around plus 120, plus 125, you have to automatically back it because those are normally like plus 250 and plus 300.
All right, well, you've got a prop in terms of official plays. You've got a prop in the Senegal-Iraq match, and then you've got a play on the Spain game, which is important because there's a lot of questions about that game in the chat. So, Brad, go ahead.
Yeah, so Senegal versus Iraq. I'm taking Ismaïla Sarr 2+ first half shots. You can find that if you don't have that option, right? You can go ahead and take over 2.5. I think that's just as valuable for the full game. But Senegal need to win. And more than just to win, they need to score a ton of goals. And Iraq have allowed a lot of goals to happen. They've had allowed a lot of shot opportunities. Sarr is that cog that makes the move. Yes, they have Sadio Mane. Yes, they have Nicholas Jackson. But it is Sarr who's been the aggressive one. If you looked at that first game they played, Sarr had 3 shots in the first half or 4 shots in the first half. Had 1 in the second game against Norway, but he had a lot of shot opportunities. And then I think in this match, he's going to have at least 4 or 5 shot attempt like looks, and then if all he has to do is convert those into shots at plus 105, I thought that was a really, really generous price. I second Buckets too on the team total. I bet that as well, and it's not going to happen unless your best players and most influential players are shooting and shooting early. The second bet, I did see the question about Spain and Uruguay. I do have a play in that game. To answer your question, like Spain's not going to put their backups in, right? They need to win. I pivoted off the Spain money line and team total over 1.5 for those who are interested. I think you could take Spain to win in under 4.5 because this line, it moved a little bit overnight. I'm totally fine with both. I think Spain score twice. That's around even money. I'm not impressed with this Uruguay side. I've talked about this to exhaustion, where the Bielsa ball is not always the best brand of football. That high press, high work rate, high energy. It's really tough to play that. And Uruguay have to be tired, right? Uruguay played two matches in Miami in the heat, like 90 degree weather with like 7,500% humidity. And when you have a team that just works so hard off the ball and works so hard in training, you're going to be fatigued. Well, players have come out and said that Bielsa ball has made them very fatigued and they're training way too hard. I think Spain are just way too dynamic. They're going to win this match. Whether they win by one, two, or three goals is irrelevant. I think if you take Spain to win under 4.5 or Spain team total over 1.5 really helps you out in this.
All right. A couple of picks from Brad Thomas. Let me get my picks out of the way. And then we've got a lot of questions to get to, including we have to include the home run chart as well. I've got two matchups today, and I'm going to give you maybe a lean on a second round leader, but let's be honest. Like, I'm not like super enthused about the second round leader market. Okay. First of all, Ryan Gerard -120 over Jake Knapp. That's going off. You still have time to get that one in. The -120 is over at BetMGM. Credit to them, because a lot of places, I noticed DK opened it at -114 and then immediately switched it to -134. I think FanDuel has it at -138. So the best number is, in fact, at BetMGM. Jake Knapp just looks a little broken. I mean, I don't know how else to say it. He was terrible yesterday, and he's been terrible since his injury and since just missing some time over the last couple of months. I don't expect that to get fixed today. And frankly, Ryan Gerard wasn't that good yesterday. He was one of my long shots to win this tournament. But at the same time, he wasn't terrible either. He was a little poor on approach. Otherwise, he was just fine. And when you're looking at Jake Knapp, again, it just doesn't look like he's there right now. So I expect Jake Knapp to have another pretty poor day. And I expect Ryan Gerard to have an average to slightly above average day. And honestly, that should be like a three-stroke win. That's how I see it. So give me Ryan Gerard -120 over Jake Knapp. Next, I'm going to Matt Fitzpatrick. He's a guy that I feel like I'm going to regret not having an outright on. I've had outrights on him pretty much like half of the year, including last week. I did like him as a top 10 at +178 on the early wedge. I gave that one out, but I just think he's playing very good golf. And what I like about him this week versus last week, if you recall, he was terrible off the tee and he was excellent everywhere else. Well, off the tee shouldn't be a huge problem for him, because he's going to keep it in the fairway. He can club down a little bit. He doesn't have to put it far out. And so I don't think the off the tee play that really gave him some fits last week, I don't think he's going to be very conservative off the tee. Justin Thomas, on the other hand, he's got spike potential both ways. I don't think Matt Fitzpatrick has that. I think Justin Thomas is a good golfer, an emerging golfer, a popular golfer this week. But Matt Fitzpatrick has been doing it consistently every single tournament with very small exceptions. So -118, again, this one's at BetMGM as well. A lot of places have this at -125. I'd be willing to play it there as well. But Matt Fitzpatrick is just kind of the class of this field outside of Scottie Scheffler. And Justin Thomas just plain and simple isn't. I think this should probably be like -135, bordering on -138, -140. So those are two matchups for you. If you want a couple of leans on a second round leader, I mean, I will mention Scotty's +330, and I think he's going to win this tournament. It's why I played the without Scottie Scheffler market. He looks really good. I don't love the +330, but it kind of makes sense to me. But if you want longer numbers, Matt Fitzpatrick is +730 to be, he's one shot back of our guy, Eric Cole. And then the other guy I would mention would be Nico Echeverria, around 20-1. Nico Echeverria knows how to play this course, and he knows how to get hot, particularly on approach and with the putter. I listened to his post-round interview yesterday, and he's playing this course how you should play it. Get it in the fairway and lean on your approach play. That's exactly Nico Echeverria's game. All right, we're going to circle back to a lot of questions I'm sure we have in the chat. Brad, I'm sure in Chip, you might have comments on some of the stuff I just said. I want to get back to baseball real quick and then World Cup. AMAX, I want to look at the home run chart, and I want to get your comments here. So Taft, if you don't mind, let's bring that up. We've got Jake Berger, Jake Bowers, who I said Jack Bowers last time, and TJ Rumfield. AMAX, thoughts?
So Jake Berger was one of my actually favorites for hit run RBI today. I didn't want to bring three plays or just two hits, runs, and RBIs. I wanted to make sure I could talk about Skeens and do that as well. But Jake Berger, man, home run yesterday. I think that Patrick Corbin is very susceptible to having a bad start here. So I love the Jake Berger one. And Sia, what were we doing yesterday that we talked all about condiments and then we didn't play Jake Berger to hit a home run?
Yeah, like, that's a mistake.
Missed by us, man.
Yeah. It's true. Jake Bowers, TJ Rumfield, any thoughts?
You know what? I think I'll, you know, probably hang off the other two. I actually think Taj Bradley could have a solid start against those Rockies. So really for this chart, it's burger for me. But I got to say, what, 2 for 3 the last 2 days on the chart, right? We had 2 yesterday. So.
Yeah,
2 the day before, so 4 for 5 in the, or 4 for 6 in the last 2 days on the home run chart. Maybe just bet all 3 every day.
Really good stuff from the Inside the Lines crew, the Sportsline model, which you can get at sportsline.com/join. And I got to say, if you want to join the Discord, discord.gg/sportsline. I say that now because we just had somebody in the golf channel say, hey, see, you got any picks today? Like during our live show. And I chimed in there just moments ago and I said, well, we're kind of doing a live show here if you want to hear the picks. Buckets soccer. Can you do some rapid fire for us?
You got it. Bucket Spain money line and over 1.5 goals from Ray G93, as Brad already talked about that. We both like that play, but we also like the under 4.5 angle if you want to mix it up a little bit. Same game parlay for Holland, Mbappe, and France to win is +600 for an entertainment bet. I like it. I've missed out on both of the last all three guys to score 2 goals, 1 billion to 1 parlays, and I know as soon as I touch it, it's going to miss, so I'll stay off of this, but I do think that's obviously a fun play to take. Buckets and Brad, France and both teams not to score from Darian Mercurio. That's one of those plays where it's everyone in the world's going to be betting on both teams to score yes, so you'll look like a genius if this hits, but I trust Norway too much, so I'm going to be against that. Brad, maybe you've got a different take on this one.
No, I think both teams to score hits. I mean, I took the Holland and Mbappe parlay at +337, so I need both teams to score.
Fair. And then Jay Waiter weather in buckets, Egypt, Iran, both teams to score at +110. That game terrifies me a little bit, and I'm someone who loves betting on both teams to score. 0-0 from Brad. It's one of those tough ones where Egypt doesn't need to win. If this ended 0-0, it's kind of a perfect result for them, and Iran off a 0-0 also might get through from the third place team qualifying, so the incentive's just going to be a bit goofy here. I did an article on this one where I did more goals in the second half than the first, because I think it's going to be very slow to start, so I would just be careful with how you bet this one where there's not a ton of motivation for Egypt to push.
Brad, any follow-up there?
No, I agree. And, you know, a lot of people get really skeptical about boosts. Well, there's a lot of boosts for both teams to score in that game. Just for all you guys, conspiracy theorists, could nil-nil would not be crazy.
Chip, I haven't gone to you in a bit. Go ahead. Keep going, Chip.
Dude, flood the market with boosts for a game that's rigged for nil-nil is so good. Oh, my gosh. You know, hide him under the cart and wheel him down the back hall of the casino. Good. Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
Chip, did you have any reaction to any of the golf takes or suggestions, leans, or official plays?
Yeah, I popped a little bit when you said, I think Scottie Scheffler is going to win this. I think that would be great for Scottie Scheffler. You know, like, I mean, just in the arc of sort of studying one of the greats of this era, who's still very much going to have his roller coaster up and down. Everyone's ready to say that it's done. But the truth of the matter is the greats, and including like his predecessor to me, is Rory McIlroy, right? And Rory McIlroy is really one of the only ones of this generation that you can say for the last, what, 10 years, maybe 10 to 15 years, has been consistently like a top 10 player in the world. Mm-hmm. With the only playing soccer and getting injured is like kind of the only thing that, but he hasn't always been winning, right? And it feels like Scottie is going through a little bit of a Rory-esque kind of lull where you can see that he's still so much better than everybody else in the field, but he's just not making the putts, or he's just a little bit off on his approach game. And I think that if he does end up winning this, it would be a really fun way to flip the narrative heading into the Open Championship.
Well, I hope he doesn't win, but I think he is going to win. I said on the early wedge, I demanded a solo shot so I could say Scott, and I've never done that before, Scottie Scheffler is winning this tournament, which is, again, why I did the without market. A-Mags, we got a couple of questions. Do the Tigers win today against the Astros at home? And then there's a question about Jacob Mizrowski and the Brewers.
I really liked the Tigers a lot more yesterday than tonight against Spencer Arrighetti. I know we already have talked on this show about his potential to have some regression, but with Kyder Montero on the mound, I'm just not going to back the Tigers here today. Last night was their chance to take a win, in my opinion, there. So
how about Jacob Mizrowski in strikeouts?
Yeah. I mentioned it in the chat, too. Someone asked about Mizrowski 10 strikeouts, Skeen 10 strikeouts, and little, you know, parlays, since both those guys are going tonight. I have him as the two best strikeout pitchers here tonight. So the only thing with Mizrowski versus Skeens is that you got Skeens at 7.5 at a playable price, and, you know, Mizrowski was at 8.5. So Having them both project around eight point two or so on strikeouts, maybe go for Skeens there.
One more from Brad McDonald. A-Mags, should we continue to hammer the Nats over? Obviously, the bullpen letting the Nats down. The Nats can hit. They play Trevor Rogers in the Orioles, basically staying at home today.
Yeah, I got to say at least this. I have picked Trevor Rogers up in my fantasy league. I think he's kind of found that groove that he found last year again. It was really rough to begin the season, but he's been solid over the last few. I think Rogers may be rounding into form. The only thing is that Nats lineup just doesn't strike out against lefties, so he's going to have to get them out. Could end up being some hits.
Brad, any follow-up with the golf commentary? And also, Yamal to score is plus 170. Joey wants to know if you like that.
Golf commentary. Yeah, I wanted to know, Sia, did you take any of the dual forecasts with any of your guys and Scotty?
No, I never really look at the dual forecast. I don't know. Maybe I should. I'm already sprinkling enough on like first round leaders. I just don't want to mess with another niche market enough. Like that.
Fair enough. I think Yamal is better to score assist today. The price is around plus 110. He's still not going to get a full complement of minutes, especially if they're up. And if you play it on a sub on book, I think you get a lot of options for that assist as well. Just a little less of a price, but a little more value getting both options for a guy who's a really good creator.
Buckets. Oh, go ahead, Chip.
Brad, do you play the two-way markets?
Not often.
I assume, and this is like me, the one thing that you'll learn, especially here on this show, is like, I'm going to be very vulnerable, honest. Like I am not, you know, the perfect. I definitely do not know all the answers. I ride on vibes a lot. Yeah. I assume that I do not have the edge on the pricing for a two-way market, right? I don't have a model. And so I can't, I'm just assuming I'm fighting at a disadvantage to the book when I stare at the two-way board.
It's tough. It's tough. And like, even like, I'm a modeler, right? And I'm a model. How cute am I? No.
Yeah, you're beautiful, like, baby.
Models are so, they're swayed so much to kind of what your brain wants it to build out. So like, then your edge is not as strong as you think it is when you do those two-way markets.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's totally fair. Buckets, people are asking, I mean, Tostitos Joe is like an all-time name. So I appreciate that. Who do we like to score for Spain?
I mean, it's one of those wait for lineup things, not because Spain won't try, but just because Spain has so much depth on their bench. If they want to go ahead and put Nico in instead, or they want to put, they just have so many different options. Pending Mikel Oyarzabal starting, I'm going to take him anytime goal scorer, and pending Lamine Yamal, I am going to grab him to score assist.
All right. Any other questions? Hand up if there was another question. Oh, how about Kylie Reynolds? What about Belgium? I'll give this to you, Buckets, and then Brad, and then we'll get to the recap screen unless there's a hand up that we missed something. What about Belgium minus 1.5? Buckets.
If I was allowed to say bad curse words on air, they would all be towards this Belgium side. This Belgium side has done nothing but piss me off for the last 5 years. This team that is supposed to have these insane expectations and do incredible things continue to set my money on fire. You know what? On paper, they should beat New Zealand by 4. That doesn't matter with Belgium. This game's probably going to be 1-1 till like the 80th minute, and then Belgium pumps in 2 for no reason. I don't want to bet anything Belgium related. If I had to, I'm taking both teams to score because New Zealand's been surprisingly good this World Cup, but I do not trust Belgium on a spread.
Brad, it's 3-0 Belgium. That's my take. Oh. What's your take?
Belgium have failed to figure out how to move in space, how
so
to get the necessary width to feed guys like CDK or even Lukaku when he started. But this New Zealand side is pretty terrible. They had their big burst of energy when they played Iran and they scored 2 goals. I don't think they're going to score 2 again. I was trying to get down like this. Look, this is a pretty fun line. Kevin De Bruyne to take 3 shots and Belgium to win minus 120.
All right. A-Mags, anything we missed before the recap?
No, I think we're all good. Just, you know, back in the Phillies and Kyle Schwarber here tonight.
All right. Let's get to the recap screen. Big thank you to Tap for taking over today. We're going to see him a little bit more, particularly on Friday. So hit the like button for Taft. Taft, let's take a look at the recap as I'm looking at all the Joe Neuenfeld, Jen, Joey in here, Crispin, Addison. Thanks for all the chatter here. I've got Ryan Gerard today this afternoon, minus 120 over Jake Knapp in a round 2 matchup. I also like Matt Fitzpatrick, minus 118 over Justin Thomas. We go to soccer, France, Norway. Both teams to score plus over 2.5 goals, minus 110. And Senegal, Iraq, Senegal over 2.5 team total at even money. We go to MLB, Kyle Schwarber over 1.5 hits, runs, RBIs, minus 118. Paul Skeens over 7.5 Ks, minus 137. Brad Thomas likes Ismaila Sarr 2 plus first half shots plus 105. He did mention if you want to take the 2.5 full game, he likes that as well. And Uruguay versus Spain. Spain money line plus under 4.5 goals, minus 110. A round two matchup. This is our third PGA play of the day. Russell Henley minus 102 over Cam Young. We did have a Sportsline pick. Now, this is on Sportsline, but it was also on yesterday's Early Edge. It was one of two picks from Danny Brasco. So check out yesterday's show or check out the CBS Sports Network show from 12 to 1. It'll be Danny Brasco, Hayden Iverson talking UFC. Of course, we'll have World Cup bets on that show as well. This bet is Fiziev over Torres, minus 110. Again, that one courtesy of Danny Brasco. What a great show today. Hope you, everyone, have a great Friday. A big thank you to Taft on the ones and twos and threes and fours. And a huge thank you to Brad Thomas, Chip Patterson, John Bucketsheimer, and A-Mags. Again, let's have a positive Friday, recap screen or not, but hopefully we see a lot of check marks on Monday. Buckets, do you have something?
If you want to take the Messi brace, Haaland brace, Mbappe brace, it is plus 13,000. I will not be touching it, so I will not jinx that for you guys. Just throwing that out there.
Just throwing it out there. But A-Mags shakes his head. Buckets, you want to close the show?
You know the law. Like and subscribe.
That was okay. We rest our case.
Whisper bets. I can't think of anything. Sorry.